Hey there, Mike.
Hello.
We got Sean Blanc back with us, back to his house.
We refused to let him leave.
Hello. We locked the doors.
Hello.
Hello. The awkward part again. So, Sean, let's see. Where did we last leave off 2 days ago in recording time, which was 2 minutes in actual time? that should tell you something if I can't even freaking remember what happened 2 minutes ago.
We were talking about podcasts.
We were talking about Sean today and memberships and stuff like that. But so, yeah. What's cool is that I actually got a Sean today before any of you got a Sean today, because shortly after I recorded and Mike recorded the first couple of episodes of Enough, or maybe it was even the first episode, Sean sent a recording to me that pretty much sounded exactly like a Sean Today episode. Him drinking the coffee, the whole nine yards.
I think I was making coffee at the time.
I'd
come downstairs. I was making coffee for the day, and you had just launched episode one of Enough.
Yeah.
And I think you were asking for feedback of people, like, hey, you know, anything? What would you guys like us to talk about? So I was down there. I was making my coffee, and so I had my iPhone in my pocket. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, instead of writing out what I want Patrick to write about, or Patrick and Mike, excuse me, Mike.
That's okay.
Instead of writing out what the two of you should talk about, I was like, I'll just record a little voice memo note and I'll email it to you guys.
Awesome.
And so that's what I did. And it was, you know, I was making coffee. And I think, I mean, that was months and months and months ago. You guys finally bring me on the show to talk about it.
We're slow, but we
don't move very fast. We only recently started bringing on guests, you know, because I'm kind of an egomaniac that way. I don't like sharing the spotlight with
We increase right? our features minimalistically.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's a better way to put it. That sounds much less narcissistic than I was about to put it.
That's why you have a co-host, Patrick.
Well, and thankfully I do, and thankfully he sounds much better than me. He's a professional.
The accent, yes. Mike,
yeah. The accent. It's really all a lie. Is. It's all hidden behind the accent. In this country, nobody listens to me.
Oh, well,
I can't stand to hear me.
So what I was hoping you guys would talk about on the show was this idea about, well, because Minimal Mac, right, your site, Patrick, is basically all around only using the tools that are necessary and not using more than what you need. But what about the guy who doesn't necessarily know any better? So you get your Mac, and it comes bundled with TextEdit, but the guy doesn't necessarily know that. He's just been told you use Microsoft Word. If you got to type something out, if you're making a document, a text document, you use Microsoft Word. For them, it's a Word doc. It's not a text document. It's a Word doc. And so just kind of, I don't know if there's an answer, but I was just curious about that whole, the idea of how do people figure out using a minimalist approach to technology when they don't necessarily know any different, that for them, Microsoft Word and the whole Microsoft Office suite, Creative Suite, Adobe Creative Suite, Photoshop, all these big bloated apps, for them, those are the staples. That is the standard for how you do text. That's how you do photo editing, etc. When we know there's lots of other options, but what about the other people out there?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the short answer is, you know, gosh, I hope they read Minimal Mac before they go down those roads. you know, that, you know, a big part of the reason why I even started the site in the first place was, you know, was certainly driven out of some of those people, right? You know, because I have this technology consulting business, and I encounter a lot of folks like this. You know, because I focus in on you know, those are my customers, those are my clients. And you're right, a lot of folks just don't know. You know, to them, you know, Word is as generic a name when it comes to typing things on their computer, as Kleenex is a generic name when it comes to blowing your nose, right? You know, yeah.
facial tissue, I think is what they call it.
Yes, yes. But you get what I'm saying, right? No one calls it facial tissue. Everyone calls it Kleenex, whether it's actually Kleenex or not, mm-hmm. right? You know, when you know my wife passes the generic, you know, Target brand that we've got sitting, you know, sitting on the bedside table, she asks me to pass a Kleenex, right? You know, and I think Word is kind of the same thing. Photoshop is definitely the same thing. You know, how many, you know, how many people who have never used Photoshop in their life know what it means to Photoshop a photo?
And a think lot. That that's the only way that you can do these things.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that that is, you know, that it's almost a generic term, right? It's not, you know, it's the term that has become... has become synonymous with doctoring a photo, you know, whether it be, you know, slimming down models on the cover of Marie Claire, or, you know, putting someone else's head on someone else's body. They call it photoshopping,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, how do you reach these people when these terms have almost become generic, and because of that, the generic nature of them, that's what they think they need to use to do these things. And, you know, it's really hard kind of getting that message out. But, you know, I think that, you know, certainly that's one of the goals behind the site, because it's amazing how many fairly knowledgeable people don't know that TextEdit can do all this stuff, because they've never taken the time to investigate it. You know, even myself, I run across things all the time. They're like, whoa, I had no idea. You know, one of those moments for me was a digital color meter, right? You know, I completely, up until maybe, I think I posted something about it maybe about 8 months ago, 9 months ago now. But up until that time, I had no idea that digital color meter would allow you to basically choose any color on your screen and will give you what the, you know, will give you what the hex value of that is in just about any form that you want it. RGB, you know. 16-bit, 8-bit, you know, hex, you know. And so for web developers, I mean, it's a godsend, right? I mean, you can actually, you know, if you want to color match a website to a tea can, you can do that using digital color meter.
That's what I want to do.
that's what I did for my wife's personal site. My wife's, not her personal site, her kind of business site. There was a tea can that we saw in a coffee shop that she really liked the colors of. And so when it came time to doing her site, I actually had the tea can. I'm like, oh, let me go find this on, you know, find a picture of this online, and went to the company's website, and there's the tea can. And then I used digital color meter to find out what the color of blue on that can was.
When you say tea can, do you mean like a can that has loose leaf tea inside of it?
Or do you mean that's...
like a pot yes. that you put on top of the stove?
No. I mean a can with loose leaf tea inside. Okay.
I'm just trying to visualize this.
Yeah. No problem. You know, so there's a perfect example of, you know, even me, who knows the Mac, he feels fairly deeply, always runs across new things and apps all the time. And, you know, yeah, so what about those people? How do you reach those people? Well, you know, you try.
Here's the other question.
You try to bring it to their attention.
Do you even bother? Do you even, I mean, I hate to do that. That's the quintessential nerd example of, you know, like my wife or my mom, right? Where the untech savvy person right. in the family. My wife uses Microsoft Word a lot for, you know, there's all sorts of stuff, just taking notes and et cetera. And it's all, you know, it's always awkward and not quite sure exactly, but she's pretty familiar with, you know, you open it up, you save a document, save it to the desktop, obviously, et cetera. For her, it would be, she knows it well enough to kind of get around, even though it's way more than what she needs, just to be able to take little notes on stuff. but it's almost easier to just let her keep using it than to than to try to get her to switch to something different that might be better. I think a lot of people have that feeling of they're going, yeah, this is a little frustrating, but I'd rather live with a little bit of frustration indefinitely than a big chunk of frustration now to try to have to learn something different that yeah. isn't what I'm exactly used to, even though in the long run it might be better. In the long run, I'd rather not do that.
We can probably all attest to that. Like, if you become a power user in a specific application, you've kind of become embedded in it, so you don't really want to leave because, as you say, Sean, it's all about sort of re-educating ourselves. So maybe it's not even for some... If you're looking at that from that angle, it might not even be somebody who is new to the Mac or to computing or doesn't know certain things. It can be even us that consider to be quite au fait with it all.
Right, but even if I do become a power user in a certain app, if there's a point of friction, like if it's something that I use all the time, if there is something about it that is frustrating to me or whatever, I'm totally open to finding a better solution if one comes along. If there's something that I have no frustration with, then I'm certainly not prone to switching just for the sake of switching, even if it is more than I need.
You're a progressive man.
Progressive?
Hmm.
Thanks.
So, yeah, I guess my feeling there is that even if you're a fairly dedicated office, you know, Word sort of person, that's what you know and it's what you use, and the friction of switching is doesn't make sense in the context. Eventually that opportunity is going to present itself, right? My wife is a good example of this. She's a pretty heavy Microsoft Office user, especially Excel. She's still using the Office 2004 version. She's using it under Snow Leopard. It's got some issues, there. But for whatever reason, just haven't taken the time to upgrade her to 2011, and she's, it's not really, once again, she's looking at the friction of even switching within there, right? Because they've, with the new ribbon interface and, they've made some changes to the way that, that version of Excel looks and feels, and that those changes are potentially friction causing enough that it's even keeping her from upgrading, right?
You're talking about that. You've just made me think with the ribbon buttons. It's not even needed. I mean, what is your wife using in Word? Maybe bold, underline, fonts. It's all she needs, really, I would assume. I mean, I don't know what she's doing in there, but if I'm looking at, say, me, I have to use Word at work because we're embedded into a system which I hate more than anything in the world. And I just don't use anything. Text edit would be absolutely fine for what I need.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's the thing, right, is that, so the point I was trying to make was that, at some point, someone's going to meet up against that friction, even within Microsoft Word. And that's the point at which at least one has the opportunity to say, am I going to invest the time it takes to upgrade to this, to spend $200, $300, $400, whatever it is, to upgrade and have that friction? Or am I going to take this opportunity that now I have to do something to see if to look around and see if maybe there's something out there that does exactly what I need for a fraction of the price, or even better, free, or even better, I already have it installed on my Mac, so I don't need to spend that money to upgrade. So I guess everyone reaches that point eventually, is what I'm going to say, and that hopefully, and part of the goals of my site are to try to equip people with the knowledge to be able to make that choice in a manner that's sane and that makes sense for them.
It's kind of it's like your car, right? You're driving your car, and it gets to the point where you're either going to, if it's, assuming you got some junker, old beat up car, it gets to the point where you're going to spend more money fixing the car than the car mm-hmm. is even worth, or it's basically just worth it to spend a little bit more and just buy a whole brand new car.
Right.
And so you get to the point with, you know, some piece of software maybe where you're like, you know what, this, there's so much more I have to learn. It's not even worth it. I'm just going to go find something completely new and yeah. invest in that instead. And so then that's when people start asking all the questions. Hey, what do you use to do this? What do you, you know, that's why everyone likes the iPhone home screens and desktop screenshots, is because it's like, oh, I'm trying to figure out a better way to post on my blog, or I'm trying to figure out a better way to keep my bookmarks. What do you use? What are you doing about it? And right. that's when people start asking the questions. And I think that's where Minimal Max sits, is that spot where people start going, all right, what do you do to solve this problem? Because I've been using Microsoft yeah. Word forever, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. And you go, hey, guess what? There's a free one that's called TextEdit.
Right.
And then
right.
And then they're very happy.
Well, and I wonder how many. Adobe just came out with a new version of Creative Suite where they've completely changed the pricing model. It's not even a new version. It's like a point upgrade for the current 5.5 version.
5.5, and that's what yeah. they're going to do now. They're releasing in half cycle releases now.
Okay. And but the bottom line is that like they've completely changed the pricing model to like a subscription based pricing model, and it's just like have made these weird changes, and I think it's, you know, it's causing a lot of people to ask if that's something, like, you know, that they're willing to move to. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how much that will drive some of those conversations about Pixelmator and Acorn and, you know, these, you know, that sell for a fraction of the price, yet, you know, and have, you know, 90% of the features, and you pay once, and just like you always have for software. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
And so I wonder, you know, once again, you know, I think that in a lot of cases, these big companies make changes that force these conversations. And like you said, I'm hoping that Minimal Mac is sitting in that spot, helping people to make the choice that makes the most sense for them and is a sane one. So, I think that that's the goal. I think that's the goal of my site. And, you know, I think that there is a certain value, like you were talking about with the, you know, screenshots and whatnot. You know, I got some flack for a while for, you know, posting clean, empty desktops and, you know, stuff like that. And I even recently, a certain internet gadfly, posted this, you know, almost mocking, video poking fun at those people that
I know the one you're talking about, and it's hilarious.
It is. It's really funny. You know, but it, and
this is minimalist dust. It's dust, but it's minimalist dust.
Yes.
This is my minimalist dental floss, because I don't use it, so it's minimalist.
I haven't seen this video. I think I need to see this video.
Yeah, you definitely need to see it.
This is my minimalist clock, because I've only got one of them. So this is it's a minimalist. It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
You know, as only Mr. Merlin Mann can be. But.
No, it's true, because I think that's the whole, I mean, now we're jumping into the whole philosophy of enough, right? Is right. that. Because you could argue that I use OmniFocus, right, for keeping track of my tasks and my to-do lists. And for all intents and purposes, it's one of the more hefty, complex. It's got a really high barrier of entry and for task management and keeping track of your to-do lists, right? But it's in all the most important areas for me, it works really, really well in terms of keeping track of what's actually due today and the different contexts and projects, and then it syncs with my iPad and my iPhone all over the air, which is really great. And so for me, like, I want the more complex version, because I'm actually going to make use of it And to have something simpler would actually be, would actually cause more friction for me, because it would mean the areas that are most important to me don't necessarily exist there. So, you know, so I think that using the smallest or the least feature-rich application isn't necessarily the answer to minimalism. I think that's why you were getting that flack for posting all the clean, simplest screenshots. I mean, it's one thing to have a nice clean desk and to keep things in order. You know, the whole idea of a place for everything and everything in its place, I think that that can be helpful, because then you're clearing away just the mental clutter of having stuff unorganized. But at the same time, that doesn't mean just clean for the sake of clean.
Right. Exactly. And you know, and never was it meant to be, you know, and I think, you know, as with anything, you know, people can kind of go down these rat holes and take it way too far. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and you know, you talk about OmniFocus. I, you know, as I've mentioned before on the podcast and on the site and on Twitter, you know, I'm actually using OmniFocus now too. And the reason being is because my life at this particular juncture calls for it, right? I need a tool that has the sorts of features and the sorts of, allows one to wrangle the sorts of complexity that OmniFocus allows, and that there are very few other tools out there that do it as effectively and as well, allowing you to manage the complexity of multiple projects that have various at various levels, while at the same time allowing you to take that complexity and focus it down to, okay, what do I need to do next?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? It's what's enough for you right now.
Yeah. And so right now, that's exactly. And so that's exactly what's enough for me right now. And I imagine, I hope that one day, you know, my life returns back to the level of, you know, the level of enough, a level of simplicity where I can manage that kind of complexity once again with pen and paper as I did before, or with task paper as I, you know, would do when the pen and paper was not enough. That for me, it was really kind of a level of need. And right now I need OmniFocus, and that, you know, maybe a few months down the road, you know, I'll take a look around at what I'm using OmniFocus for and say, you know what, this isn't right yet quite for pen and paper, but task paper would be perfectly fine for what I have going on right now. And then maybe after a while, the task is like, okay, well, you know, I can do this on pen and paper. I don't need this other program, you know? And so I personally don't have a problem with, you know, keeping the tools you need at hand and have it, but, you know, you don't have to have the sledgehammer out when you're pounding in a penny nail. But when you need to pound that railroad tie, you break out the sledgehammer.
I use a sledgehammer for everything. you only need one swing on the penny nail and it's in. You're done.
Yeah, yeah.
You just Sean's idea of minimalism is destroying everything to make it more minimalistic.
That's how I roll.
Well, Sean, thanks for giving me the very first Sean today. I really do appreciate the fact that I got early access before anyone else.
Yeah, that'll be $3.
Well, no, if you think maybe then Pat started the membership then, so he has to backdate $3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so that's, I actually owe you maybe $36.
That'll be $30.
Or, yeah, $30. So, well, thanks a lot, Sean, for being on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's a lot of fun.
Past couple of days, and you know, we'll definitely try to have you back on again, because this has been a lot of fun. So you know, you need to plug some stuff before you go here. You got SeanBlanc.net.
Yes.
Where people can go, and if they really, really enjoy what you're doing there, and even if they don't, they can opt to sign up for a membership, which is only $3. And same price as a good cup of coffee.
That's correct.
And you know, and for that, they not only get you know, to support what you're doing and taking the site full time, but they also get access to this Sean Today thing that I keep referencing, where you record these little, you know, these little audio and sometimes video recordings every morning, sometimes a little bit later, but you know, it's very rare. Almost I almost always see it, you know, in my morning inbox, as it were, and really great, you know, kind of get some conversation that you can't get anywhere else about some of the things that are happening and Sean's life and on the website, and you know, kind of some of the thought process that are going into what you're seeing there. So it's a really unique opportunity, really special.
Thanks.
So
and Sean, you also do one more podcast as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do the B&B podcast with Ben Brooks. It's a technology talk show about once a week,
which I much enjoy, and I have to suggest something for you. Okay. I saw somebody mention to you on Twitter today that they couldn't tell the difference between you and Ben's voices. What you should say to people, if they become a member and then listen to Sean Today every day, then they will learn your voice.
I just figure they should just listen to who's the one cracking the good jokes and not.
Or the grumpy one, and that's not you.
The grumpy one.
Yeah.
And you can always tell Ben because he's kind of got that sort of that. I mean, that north, the Seattle accent, like you know, like bag. You know, so. You know, I launched the app, and there was a little bit of leg to it.
You do that way too well.
Well, we've done a few episodes.
All right, Sean. Well, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for having me. Good times.
Mike, thank you as always.
And yourself, sir.
All right. Well, we'll talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.